So we got, is it right, 6 minutes, Scott? So I just, or we just let you know about 5 minutes that you got about a minute left. Is that okay? Do you want me to time them or you do it? Okay. Who's going to start? You're going to start. Okay. Here we go.
Amen. Amen. James 4:4 says, adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever determines to be a friend of the world is constituted an enemy of God. And John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. I was freshly touched reading these verses that there's no compromise here. It doesn't say if anyone loves the world more than they love for the Father, that's bad. It says if anyone loves the world, period, love for the Father is not in him. Amen. The next section talks about the steps of the fall. So the first step of the fall was from the spirit to the soul. And through this step of the fall, man became soulish and sinful. The second step of the fall is from the soul to the flesh, and man became fleshly. And the third step was from the flesh to idols. And so before the fall, the only needs man had were for food and marriage. But after the first step of the fall, man also needed clothing. And after the second step of the fall, man also needed housing. And so since man had lost God through the fall, man must care for his own needs, for his own existence. And so there's a very simple definition for the world. The world is that which is more than we need for our living. So we need these four things: food, marriage, clothing, and housing. But Satan has usurped these needs and organized them into a system, and that's the world. This organized system by Satan that makes us want more than we need for our living.
Amen. Right. The world is that which is more than what we need for our living. So I'd just like to point out a few examples in the Bible how the Lord provides for every need. Right. So, in this example of the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, it was very, very simple. Right. Rebekah came and they got married, and that was that. They were married. And this was a testimony of the Lord, of God. However, today in this culture, no matter what culture you're in, marriage is oftentimes like a very big deal. Lots of planning involved. Many people have to be invited. Money has to be saved. All these things. When really this is an excess, because marriage is not for the wedding. Marriage is to be a testimony of God.
Amen.
In the same way, God always provides for our food. Right, in the Bible, numerous times he provided the correct food, the correct amount at the correct time. There was never any lack. However, today this is not the case. There's even an example, right, for many people, if there's a $5 meal, it's not good enough for them. They have to have a $10 meal, they have to have a $15 meal, right? They're so concerned about quality, so concerned about all these different things, when really this is also an excess. No matter if it's the quality or the quantity or, the cost, no matter these things, we need to instead rely on the Lord.
Amen.
And also, right, as the sisters have mentioned, there is this need for clothing after the fall. And in Genesis, right, the Lord provided clothing for Adam and Eve. And it was sufficient. It was good. The only need for our clothing, right, is to be covered. However, today, oftentimes there are, just people are consumed with their clothing. It has to be the right style. It has to be whatever is good for the month, right? But this is an excess. This is not the way God ordained it to be.
And also, what we do is we want, and that is not something that we do naturally. It's in God. It's not in God. It's human, and it's in this system that Satan provided. Mm-hmm. We see it. We walk outside and we see these houses, and we're like, I want that house, even though we're perfectly fine with where we're living. It's just because of how they look is why we want it. Mm-hmm. Or we see someone walking down the street and it's like, oh, that's a cute outfit. I want that outfit, even though we're already clothed. And that's not what God's purpose is. God's purpose is not for us to lust after other things.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to want something. That's what Satan wants. He wants us to look at something and lust after it and want after it. The purpose of God's kingdom is that we find his kingdom and for him on earth. And that we represent him with his dominion, and we express him through ourselves.
Amen.
And we're not doing that by worrying about what we're wearing or worrying about what we're living in.
Right.
Because we do that by expressing and living His word. And we're not doing that if we're worried about our clothing. We're not sitting there thinking about these verses if we're sitting there like, oh, my shoes don't look good today. They're going to judge me on this. That's not what He wants. He wants us to express Him and take the earth for His kingdom. And we need to stop worrying about ourselves and find His purpose.
Amen.
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 Great job. Maybe for the sake
maybe get
of
in the order.
Okay. Okay. Amen. All right. So, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. The world is passing away and its lust, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So, if you're living by the world, if you're committing sins and you're lusting, that makes you an enemy of God, because James 4:4 says, adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Therefore, whoever determines to be a friend of the world is constituted an enemy of God. So the world is against God, and those who love the world are enemies of God. And we don't want to be enemies of God, so the devil's trying to use us, simple things, simple wants, simple things that cause us to lust, to grow farther and farther away from the Lord. And we don't want to do that because that makes us an enemy of God, and sometimes we don't even know it. So we want to just stay with the Lord. We want to keep praying and just stay away from things that cause us to lust.
So this brings us to the first point on the things needed for man's existence and the steps of man's fall. So God realized from the very beginning that man needed things. And so he realized that that man needed food and that man needed marriage. So he gave man food and he gave man marriage, Adam and Eve. But then Adam and Eve, they fell. This is the first fall. And this fall is from the spirit to the soul. This happened in the garden. And then after that, they realized they needed clothing. And so this is the third need, clothing. You have food, you have marriage, you have clothing. And then there's a second fall. There's a fall from the soul to the flesh. And this fall from the soul to the flesh is significant of Noah and the flood. And then after this, man realized that they needed housing. And so that's the fourth thing that man needed. It was housing. And then finally, the third fall was fleshed to idols. And this happened actually after the fall. And this is significant of Babylon, the fall of Babylon. And so what happened after this is that through all these falls, Satan came in and he usurped these needs that we needed, that man needed. And Eric here is going to extrapolate on what that is.
Right. So what is the world? And so we got a definition of the world in our ministry. So the world is that which is more than we need for our living. Right. And so as human beings, we need food, we need protection, we even need pleasure. But when we make it more than what we need, that's when the world can usurp us. There's also a fine balance of this, though, because if we do less than we need, if we like impose some self-regulated restriction and be super religious about it, we're also off balance. Mm-hmm. Right. But in Christ, he is the perfect humanity. He still has his humanity and he is balance. And so when we're walking in Christ and staying in the spirit, the balance is achieved and we don't get usurped by the world. But Ray's going to tell you more about that.
I appreciated seeing this definition of the world, that the world was formed by Satan taking the basic necessities of man's life, which he needs and which God provides, and then adding to them and systematizing them in order to usurp man's time, man's heart, man's, everything until man has just become a slave to these things.
Right.
Now to exist can occupy your entire life. Whereas God's purpose should occupy your entire life, and your existence should just be taken care of within that scope. And the sisters covered this and they gave the example of Isaac and Rebekah. And you read that account of Isaac needed a wife. God provided Rebekah through this marvelous transaction with Eliezer. And it's just, this is so sweet. And it's so simple. And she comes. And they're married, and this is a wonderful thing. But nowadays, marriage has become an industry. And, you know, even just buying a ring is an industry. And I don't know if you guys know or appreciate how much a wedding costs. But anyways, this is, it's just been blown out of proportion. Now people don't even want to get married because it's so much. Yeah, it costs so much. You step on so many people's toes. Anyways, I don't want to get into it. But you see, this has been something that's been usurped. It can occupy your heart and your time and everything. Anyway, so these things are good. You know, clothing is good. Marriage is good. Not to say that marriage is of the world, but it can be something that's usurped by Satan in the world. So,
right. Yeah. So four quick examples that we're given. Again, marriage, but also eating, and then even the principle of clothing, and then even the principle of housing. Right. Those are four good illustrations. Again, to go back to what Eric shared, the world is anything that is in excess of what we need. 1 minute. Okay. So the enemy's tactic is to get us to fixate on something of excess. So maybe perhaps we're not bothered by marriage yet. Perhaps we're not bothered by eating. Perhaps most of us, there may be some element of clothing, maybe not the housing. But there's something in the world that the enemy is causing us to want an excess of what we need. Perhaps it's a car, perhaps a guitar, in my case. But anyhow, so the enemy is always trying to give us that excess, though. But this leads us to something very important, God's purpose.
Amen, right. Praise the Lord for the word. We could see that we're not made to be occupied by these other things, which the world has usurped, which is a necessity for man, but it shouldn't be the sole purpose for man's living. So we could see in Genesis 1:26 that we were made in a special way. For a special purpose, which is to express God and represent Him in His dominion on the earth, to bring His kingdom to the earth. And this should be the center of our living, and it should be the focus of our life. Amen.
Group two. Amen. 1 John 1:19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the evil one." I think this verse adds a lot of clarity, actually, to our situation, because as believers of Christ, we are of God. We are sons of God. We are not in this satanic worldly system that has been set up. But to briefly introduce again, I just wanted to, again, redefine what the world is and compare it to what God had originally ordained. It's very sweet. God created the earth and the universe for man. Amen. But actually, just like Satan came and corrupted man, Satan also corrupted the universe in of itself, the whole old creation, in such a way that he would be able to usurp man. And actually, he designed it in such a way that it would be attractive to man's flesh. So we have to just be aware of what this worldly system really is. It's designed to attract us away from God's original purpose and from God Himself.
And so, Brother Tim drew this yesterday, and this was really helpful for this part. How in the fall there's a before and after effect. And so in the fall, when Satan's thoughts entered into man's soul, in its corrupted state, the soul became the flesh. And so, the self. And then sin entered into man's body, making it the flesh. And so in the same way, you know, what are the worldly things? The worldly things are just the corrupted earthly things. So Satan has corrupted and systematized the earthly things, which are just the things God has ordained and are necessary for man's existence. but right, that have been systematized by Satan to occupy man.
Right. All right, so first of all, we all need to know that the world is now the satanic system. Mm-hmm. God did not create the world. He created the earth.
Amen.
And we all need to have a clear vision of the world and for what it is. So anything like marriage or everybody needs to eat, everybody needs housing, and anything, clothing, anything that occupies you to be a part of the world is just needs to be. Yeah, I don't know where I'm getting with that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Be a part of God.
Amen.
Have the Lord in you.
Amen.
So, other than trying to preoccupy us, the world also wants to usurp and possess us. And so I really appreciate this word usurp because it implies that we had an original intention and that we were illegally repurposed. So the intention for man is that he would be a vessel for God. And I appreciated that God's intention was to fill man, not just that man would behave in a certain way. And so Satan not only came in with sin, he also came in with the world because Satan also wanted to fill man. And so, so for this reason, we need to take this matter of the world just as, if not more seriously, than we take the matter of sin. Because the Lord wants to possess us and fill us. But in the way is the world that's occupying us. So maybe we think if we're really good, or if, you know, we're polished or moral, then we're okay. But we could be perfect and yet still be fully preoccupied with the world and have no room in us for the Lord.
Amen. Oh, yes, saints, we cannot let the world preoccupy us and possess us. Amen. In order for us to do that, we need to be active in our interactions with the world. We cannot just read about how the world affects us and affects our spiritual life in the Bible, but we need to act on it by denying our time, money, activities, and anything that can distract us from the things of God. I really enjoyed a portion in Matthew 8:19 through 22. Where a disciple comes to the Lord and asks him if he can go and bury his father. And the Lord says, let the dead bury the dead. We need to just realize that the things of the world need to deal with the things of the world. But we are children of God. Amen. And we need to deal with the things of God.
Amen. Amen. The first step God took in fulfilling his purpose was creating man to be a vessel. And the purpose of a vessel is to contain something. And for us, that something is God. Amen. And in the Garden of Eden, God commanded Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of life so they would be filled with God. And in John 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, eat of me. Amen. And when we eat of something, we become what we eat. Right. And I was reminded along the lines of the vessel of the widow and her jars of oil. The creditor came to the widow and said, pay up or I'll take your two kids. But God came in and allowed the widow to be free. And Satan is like the creditor, demanding of the widow. Satan demands of us, saying that we need to make more money, we need to have better clothes, a better house. But God frees us from that and allows us to be filled with him and pour out with his Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about deliverance from this world. The way we are delivered from this world is through baptism. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Old Testament shows baptism by Noah and his family being saved from the flood and being inside that ark. Oh, Lord, I want to be inside that ark. And it also shows the Israelites going through the Red Sea when it was parted and how it closed on the Egyptians. And they all died. Baptism is a foreshadow of passing through the waters of death. When we are baptized, we go down and we die to the world and we raise up and we leave the world. Amen. So amen. Praise the Lord.
So the Lord Jesus has regenerated us and through baptism, and he has made our spirit alive, and now he dwells within us. And what he wants to do is to, through baptism, to deliver us from, first from the flesh, then from the self, and then finally, more gradually, from the world. And it's a cycle that repeats itself throughout our lives. And we might think that we've already been delivered from the flesh, and then the Lord will reveal something to us that, you know, is in our flesh that we hadn't seen before, and the cycle just starts over and repeats itself. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom."
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So yeah, we see that in baptism we're positionally set apart from the world, and then we're going through a reconstitution and being filled with the heavenly diet. I wanted to add to that part, during the wilderness the Israelites were betrothed, and so there's this portion of love. Actually, two factors that influence our feeling toward the world are our love for God and our growth in the Spirit. Actually, the more we love God, the more we draw near to God, and the more we are conscious of the world, and the more we are motivated and desire to remain apart from the world. And then our growing in the knowledge of God actually is proportional to the degree of our dealing with the world. So the Lord says in Matthew, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so if the Lord is our treasure, our heart is in him, not on this earth, but in the heavens. And so we are exhorted to set our mind on things above, not on the things of the world. That along with the Lord, we could say, "The foxes have holes and the birds of heaven have roofs, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So ultimately in this, we become simple. Actually, in our fallen state, we're very complicated. The more fallen we are, the more things we need. On the contrary, the more we are delivered from the fall, the simpler we become regarding what we need for our existence.
Amen. In our experience, the liberating or the freeing spirit becomes the transforming spirit. The spirit will transform us, and we will eventually become like Christ. Amen. We will like the image of Christ. We shouldn't be fashioned according to this world. Instead of being conformed to the present age, we should be transformed by the renewing of the mind. The more we are transformed, the more we are delivered from the flesh, the self, and the world. You might ask yourself, what is the world? The world can be anything that is occupying us or preoccupying us. Anything that gets our attention or is changing our mind, like you all said, like you, if you look at our home, it can influence your mind and it can preoccupy us. So we should be delivered from that. Amen. We should not love any occupying or preoccupying thing. Rather, we should give our love fully, wholly, and absolutely to the Lord. Amen. So after we have went through baptism, after we have delivered from damaging elements, after we become simple, and after we are being transformed, the only thing is left is life and peace.
Amen.
Okay, so there's a basic principle of the world. It's everything that quenches one's spiritual life in the Lord is the world. It keeps us away from the Lord. It takes away our interest in the God's word. And it is a hindrance between us and the Lord. And the interesting point is it necessary, sinful? And it's not. And even, like, some of them, even not sinful at all. But we need to be very careful, because as long as it affects, as long as it, like, it quenches our spiritual life, that is the world. And when you, and also it affects the growth of the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So the world is the strategic point of the enemy. He does not want us to give up this point, and he does not want to give up this point either. Amen. So how can we get escape from that? The strategy, the miserable point, is trying to be powerful. How can we be powerful? We have to pay the price to be dealt with our inner being by God. So Acts 24:16, Paul says, because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and man. So for inward part, our conscience is always trying to offense God. And our thing is, the world is always trying to usurp us, possess us, and even occupy us. So praise the Lord. We have to deal with our conscience inwardly, our worldly concept outwardly, and we have to deal with these conscience, so the Holy Spirit can work with us in out with our spirit, so we can be filled with God. Amen. If we deal with our conscience and the world, there is no need to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
If we want to overcome all the issues of the world, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the Ephesians 5, from 18 to 20, it says that we need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and singing with your heart to the Lord. Give thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to our God and Father. And once we be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will have the boundless power and authority to speak the word of God in preaching the gospel and to prophesy in the meetings. And I think we also need to exercise our spirit by confessing, turning our heart to Him, consecrating ourselves to Him. And we need to always call His name. And we need to pray without ceasing.
Yeah. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But how do we build a church? So here it says the church needs the young men growing up for the building up of the body of Christ, which is the church. So we need all of the young men, which is our brothers and sisters, our young brothers and sisters, to build up the church. And then as long as our young men are strong, and then the church will be strong. Yeah.
I haven't been a college student in many years, but I'm still a young believer and a student in spiritual life. So the last section is our growth in life being for the building up of the church. Ephesians 2, verse 21 and 22 says, in whom all the building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. And 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, as newborn babes long for the godless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. So in our growth is we need to grow individually in our spirit, and we also need to grow together into the church, the body of Christ. And in summary, is the vision of the world is anything that interrupts this growth.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left. I'd like for us to go back to the lead verse here in John 1, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And if you have a study Bible, recovery version with notes, I want us to look at one of the notes. So let's read, how about sisters on 15, brothers 16, and all together on 17. John, I'm in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Sisters, read, please.
Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him.
Go ahead, brothers. All together. And the world is passing away and its lust, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Okay, so just a little help. The footnote on the word world in verse 15 is footnote number 2. This can be a little bit confusing because you may, if you're talking about this, your vision, what does John 3:16 say? Wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to... You're an enemy of God. So, how are you going to explain this? So, we have to be clear. The Greek words, the footnote there says the Greek word is used for different things. Okay, so there's four different things here. And certain verses, that it's used to denote the material universe as a system created by God. So that is the Rocky Mountains or the whole system. Material universe. That's called the world in the Bible. But that's not what we're... That's created by God. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, then you keep reading. Number two. We don't see number two. It's just the second one. It denotes the fallen human race. Okay, that's God so loved the world. He loves the fallen human race. That's the world. The fallen human race, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay, you keep reading. That race is corrupted and usurped by Satan to be the components of his evil world system. Okay, then it talks about, in 1 Peter 3:3, it denotes adorning ornaments. So it's an adorning there. Ornaments, that's self-explanatory. Here, as in John, these other verses, it denotes an order, a set form, an orderly arrangement, hence an ordered system. So how about we take turns reading? We'll just start here with Ray and each read a sentence where I just picked it up. We're talking about this fourth meaning of the word world, and just pick it up with okay, how about in James 4:4? Yeah, okay.
James 4:4, it denotes an order, a set form, an orderly arrangement, hence an ordered system, set up by Satan, the adversary of God, not the earth.
Okay, you got it? So this is what we're talking about today. It's an ordered system set up by God, not the earth. Okay? Keep reading.
God created man to live on the earth for the fulfillment of his purpose.
Amen.
But his enemy Satan, in order to usurp the God-created man, formed an anti-God world system on this earth by systematizing men with religion, culture, education, industry, commerce, entertainment, etc. Through men's fallen nature, in their lusts, pleasures, and pursuits, and even in their indulgence in the in necessities for their living, such as food, clothing, housing, and transportation.
Okay, so understand that the systemized sayings in the world include religion. Satan has systemized religion. You think, well, wait a minute, religion is good, right? Not the systemized religion by Satan. Culture. We all have strong culture. This is going to really hit home. Education. Did you know that education has been systemized by God today? So be careful. Systemized by Satan. Yeah. So there's a little snake hiding right there. And many people are drawn because, wait a minute, isn't education wonderful? Yes, we should be educated, but it's become a system to ensnare, and it has ensnared a lot of people. All right? So we're not saying education is bad. We're saying the system organized by Satan, systemized, that is evil. That's the world. And keep going. Then you get educated. Then you go get a job and go be in industry. So it's after graduation and commerce and entertainment, etc. So it doesn't matter what particular part of the world you like. That's why what you're attending is called a university. It can offer you whatever you like. If it's not music, it's sports. If it's not sports, it's engineering. If it's not engineering, it's business. If it's not that, it's theater. It's a university. So you just pick. It's got something for everybody. That's why it attracts so many different people. Right? It's a system. Okay, keep reading. Who's up next? You got it, Dylan? The whole world, the whole of such, sorry.
The whole of such, a satanic system lies in the evil world.
So that's, whose hand is that in? The whole thing. Whose hand? God's hand? No. So when you're involved in that, Satan's got you right in his hand. The whole of it. Okay, keep going. Amen. Not loving such a world is a ground for overcoming. We want to be overcomers? Yes. Let's all read the last together. Loving it just a little gives the evil one the ground to defeat and purify us. Serious. Okay, so we need a vision of the world, right? So we don't want to be usurped and corrupted by the evil one. Okay, I think dinner's at 6, is that right? Or?
Well, I appreciate your all's portions of sharing.
Amen.
And may the Lord expand the vision of the world. And we'll be out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so if you're looking at our schedule, we're about to eat. And I don't know, are we ready? We are. So how about maybe just some prayer, and then the sisters can go first. And then if you look at it, we'll come back together at 7 for our final meeting for today, okay?